We're turning today to Proverbs 15, starting at verse 25. That's where we left off last week. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 25. This first scripture, well, let's go ahead and read it. Verse 25 of Proverbs 15 says this: "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow." Wow, that verse came screaming right out of the Bible and hit me right between the eyes when I read it for our study today. The border of the widow, there is so much there. There's great history behind the idea of the border of the widow. There were border rules with the children of Israel. Children of Israel came into the land. The Lord said that they should cast lots to see what land each tribe would get. And of course, the scripture says, the lot is cast, but the whole disposing of the thing is of the Lord. And so the Lord gave different tribes, different sections of Israel, and families within those tribes were assigned special places within each plot of land. And these things, through the rules and regulations that God gave, were to be kept through the years for those families so that the land would be established and settled. And so when I read that the Lord establishes the border of the widow, I begin to picture his care as he had over the children of Israel coming into the land. His care, his concern for the widow, her border, her place of living, her provision would be established by the Lord. Now, this is a huge promise and a wonderful blessing to study and to learn about. God takes care of those that need help. Now, in those days, the widow and the fatherless were really kind of out on a limb alone if they were found in the society, because the men were gone. And this story of Ruth that we read in the Bible, and Naomi, her mother-in-law, they both lost their husbands. And the story, the whole book talks about how God took care of them and restored the land to them that Naomi had had before in Bethlehem before her husband died. And it is just a tremendous story. And then seeing how the Lord provided Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, as a husband for Ruth, and eventually through Ruth and Boaz comes the Lord Jesus Christ. First comes King David, and then the Lord Jesus Christ. And how God just established the border of the widow. Now, there's other scriptures about this and in Proverbs here. So let's turn to Proverbs 22. Just turn a few pages over. Proverbs 22, 28. And it says in Proverbs 22:28, "Remove not the ancient landmark which your fathers have set." And so as each tribe in Israel, as each family would get their land, they would establish landmarks to show that that's where their land is. It was in God's heart and in God's mind to establish those landmarks as a continual blessing for each family. And again, establishing the landmark of the widow, watching over those that really couldn't do the job themselves. In those days, they had no Social Security, and they had no means of employment in those days. It's really neat. That problem was big in Africa, is big in Africa. Many of the girls, I shouldn't have said it's really neat yet, but many of the girls are forced into prostitution to make any kind of money at all. And so what's really neat is Pastor Juventine, who has been here to speak at our church and in Calvary Chapel a minute ago, and over there near the border of the Sudan, actually has established a chicken farm where the girls can work and make money. And so what a blessing that is to kind of overpass the culture and take care of that situation. Well, God is really mindful of these things, and he's so in favor of the fatherless and the widow. In fact, it says in Romans, as we know, pure religion You really want to do pure religion and undefiled before God? Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep yourself unspotted from the world. That's what God has to say. God's heart is right there. And so he will establish the border of the widow. Now let's look at chapter 23 of Proverbs, verses 10 and 11, to look at this other scripture on the situation. Now here we have it again. Remove not the old landmark. Enter not into the fields of the fatherless. So there we have the fatherless mentioned here in the Old Testament, as we get the word fatherless in the New Testament. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. And look at verse 11. I love this verse. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with you. Don't mess with the fatherless or the widow. You want to get in trouble with God? Watch out. Because he will plead their cause as he did with Ruth and Naomi. And also, we have another great example of that in the scriptures. You know, this rule in their culture actually only really worked for men about the ancient landmark until God kind of intervened. And I want to show you that intervention today in Numbers chapter 27 and verses 4 through 7. Now, don't be afraid of Numbers. It's the fourth book in the Bible. You just get to Genesis and count four books and you get to Numbers. Numbers 27 and verses 4 through 7. There was a man named Zelophehad, and you see him in chapter 27 of Numbers, verse 1 at the beginning. He had five daughters, but no sons. Five daughters, no sons. The names of the daughters are at the end of verse 1. Milhah, Noah, Hoglah, and Milcah, and Tizra. So these are the girls. And their dad died, and they were going to be out with the out crowd. There's no inheritance to the daughters, just to the sons. What are we going to do? And so they went to Moses. And we read in verse 4, they came to Moses and they said, why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he has no son. Give unto us therefore possession among the brethren of our father. And what did Moses do? What he should have done. Praise the Lord. Moses brought their cause before the Lord. We just read that word cause, didn't we, in Proverbs 23, that the Lord takes up the cause of the widow. So these girls came to Moses, and Moses took the problem to the Lord, took their cause to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. These girls are right on. Okay, girls. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. So the Lord had a chance right in the beginning here with Moses to correct the situation of the society. And Jesus and the Lord God, who are the same, have been doing that all through the existence of humanity, correcting society. And as Pastor Bill, you know, talked about our prayer time we want to have on Thursday. That's what we want to be about with the Lord, right? We want to see what the Lord's doing and do it with him. And he wants to correct society. He wants to actually break in to society. And as he has in a nation, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Oh, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And so, as our nation was founded and grounded on the Bible was the first textbook in the colleges. And did you know that? All Princeton, Yale, Harvard, all of those big-time colleges that we read about, know about, the first textbook was the Bible. And they all began as seminaries, training men of God to be preachers and women of God to minister. And so that's where we began. And wow, what a nation we've seen ripping through the last 200 years. Powerful and blessed and mightily taken care of by God. And so we're in danger now, faltering from that, falling from that. So we pray. The Lord says, if my people who are called by my name, Jesus is his name, Christians, will humble themselves and pray and confess their sin and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And so our obedience is to pray. And so again, Thursday's a good day for you to pray. And if you want to join us, it's between 7 and 8 to pray here in the sanctuary. We're just so welcome. The pastors are going to be here, and we're going to lead in prayer, and then we're going to get into groups of 3 and 4 and pray. Don't be afraid of that. Just come and let God use you to help pray for the nation. So I'd like to encourage you with that. There is a wonderful story in the Old Testament. It's very true to just show how important that the widow is to the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And one of the big reasons I'm taking you to this example in the Old Testament is because Jesus actually speaks about this woman that we're going to read about in 1 Kings 17. Now you go past Numbers to Deuteronomy, and you start your journey. You go to Joshua and Judges, and 1 and 2 Samuel after Ruth, and then 1 Kings chapter 17. And Jesus speaks about this woman in the New Testament and gives us a real lesson through her. And so we want to read this story. So we are in 1 Kings 17, and starting at verse 9, but I want to give you some background. Now, Elijah was a great prophet of God, lived about 900 B.C., and God called Elijah to go to a very wicked king named Ahab. You know, I think the weird guy in Moby Dick is named Ahab for a reason. Now, the Bible just speaks about Ahab and being a king that really brought the northern kingdom of Israel into idolatry and were sinning mightily against the Lord. So God sent Elijah to him and said, you know what? It's not going to rain for 3.5 years because of you and your teachings and this false gods in the land. So there's going to be a famine in the land. And you won't see rain for 3.5 years. After he gave that message, the Lord led Elijah to go into the wilderness to sit by a little stream, a brook called Cherith. And he sat there and had his water given to him by the Lord coming down from the mountains, fresh mountain stream. And then, to eat, the Lord sent ravens to feed Elijah, of all things. Birds, those big black birds that eat everything. You know, we get our word ravenous. You know, when you're really hungry, you'll say, oh, I'm just ravenous. You know, bring on the fatted calf. That actually comes from the word raven. That's where that word originated, because ravens are always hungry. Just observe them sometimes. And they'll eat anything. They'll get down in the gutter and eat stuff that's there. Oh, my goodness. And they're kind of like the cockroach of the air. So considering this thing about ravens, this is such a miracle that God instructed the ravens, these ravenous birds that usually eat everything, to actually carry food to Elijah, to bring him bread and meat, not just bread or not just meat, but both. And I just imagine those guys, you know, coming in, you know, there's Elijah by the brook Cherith in the morning, and he's looking up, and here comes this group of ravens, oh, dropping little bombs of food on him, or what, however they did it, I'm not sure. Maybe they came up to him and you know, like this, and just he took the, I don't know. But anyway, these guys would do this every day for Elijah. Well, now Elijah had been talking to the king, right? He was a prophet to the nation. But the thing is, God begins to show the importance of a little widow just off somewhere by herself, almost ready to die. And God sees that alarm. He says, Elijah, get up, arise. And that's where we start reading right now. So we're in 1 Kings 17 and verse 9. And the air conditioning has turned my pages on me, so I'm going back here. Okay, let's read. Arise, get thee to Zarephath. Now, you're going to see Z's in the Old Testament and S's in the New Testament when Jesus talks about these places. Why is that? Well, the Z's are from the Hebrew translation, and the S's will be from the Greek translation, but it's the same place. So it says, arise, get thee to Zarephath with the Z, which belongs to Zidon. And this is really a Gentile area above north of Israel, but Lebanon-type area, Zidon. And dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman as there that is there to sustain you. So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch the water, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And what the woman said here, is something pretty heavy. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives, I don't have a piece of bread to give you or a cake. She referred to it as a cake here in the King James anyway. But a handful of meal in a barrel. So now picture a big barrel where you store grain. At the very bottom of the barrel, she has one handful of grain left. That's all she has to her name. And he's asking for a piece of bread or a cake. And this hasn't even been cooked yet. There's just a handful of grain. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I might go and may dress in the, go in and dress. I forgot to mention she had a little cruse of oil, a little oil at the bottom of a vessel also. So a little olive oil to be able to cook the remaining grain. And she says, you know what, I'm going in to go ahead and cook that or dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. So that is her situation. God knew it. God went to his prophet and said, get up, man. It's time to go take care of somebody. This is your mission now. You just talked to the king, I know. But now you need to go to the least, the lost. You need to go to the helpless and the hopeless. No means of income for this widow. And that's where Jesus' heart is, and he's showing that right here to us. He takes care of the border of the widow. He takes care of the situation the widow finds herself in, because he's God and he is love. And he is totally, totally committed to that. And so this is a blessed thing. Now Elijah says to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, and make me therefore a little cake first. Now this sounds really cold. I mean, just think of how cold this sounds. The prophet says to her, oh, you can do that. You can go ahead and make that last little bit of meal and to eat it with your son, and then you guys can die. But first of all, make me something to eat. You know, what is this about, you know? Well, you'll see. And he says, bring it to me, and after, make for you and your son after you're done making something for me. Because he wants to bring the prophetic word of God to her and wants her to have faith in the word of God above what she receives from her reason to do. Her reason would be, and she might say in non-belief, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. I'm going to go make some food for my son. Thank you very much. But he says to her this prophetic word, and she believes it. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of your meal shall not waste. In other words, it's not going to run out. You cook something, and the Lord's going to make more grain in the bottom of that barrel. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail, and you're going to have oil to cook with until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth through the whole 3.5 years. God is making a promise. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. So she went with the word of faith there. She went with what Elijah gave her instead of going with her doubts and fears. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. In Hebrews 1:1, we're told that in times past, the Lord spoke to us through his prophets. And Elijah is one of those prophets. And this lady felt that, sensed that, knew that, and obeyed the Spirit of God. And in faith, went and did as he said. And God just did this beautiful miracle. Jesus talks about this, as I said, so I want to show you that before we leave this subject. Let's go into the New Testament to Luke 4:25. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 4 and verse 25. 4:25. Now Jesus had come to his own hometown, Nazareth, and he didn't do well there. Actually, the people rejected him, and they almost threw him over a cliff until he escaped. But the scripture says that he could not do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. And so we don't want to be like the town of Nazareth. Oh no, we'd like to be like the widow of Zarephath. Because as Jesus is reproving them about this, he says to them in verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto," and here's the S instead of the Z, "Saperta, a city of Sidon," instead of Zidon, because of the Hebrew Greek thing, "unto a woman that was a widow." And so here we see Jesus commending the woman for her faith. And he wished so hard that his hands weren't tied. I don't want to tie the hands of Jesus to you from bringing blessing. His hands were tied in his hometown city because of their unbelief. He could not, the Bible says, do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And so, oh, brothers and sisters, don't we want to rise up in our hearts and call upon Jesus, know the Lord Jesus in a deep way, and just say to him, "Lord, you take my life, and I want to trust you with my life." And oh, how the Lord just loves that. He just loves it. And so he brings the example of the widow. And of course, bringing that message again of how his heart is touched and moved with the fatherless and the widow, those that have need. Remember years ago, Sherry made a collage and put it on the wall of our apartment complex. Jesus Christ is the hope of the hopeless. Indeed, he is. And when you need help, he wants you to come to him. Ask that you might receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the things that you need will really be added to you. How the Lord desires for us to experience that and to walk in it. And so really giving example of this dear widow who he loves and bringing a message to all of us. Now, I want you men not to be discluded today. Let's read the next verse. Verse 27 in Luke 4. It says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha," the next prophet after Elijah, "and none of them was cleansed." He had leprosy, but he was cleansed, "saving Naaman, another Gentile," in fact, a captain in the enemies of Israel's army. God is no respecter of persons. Through the Jew first and then the Greek. And the Greeks and also the non-Jews were being blessed because they were looking to the Lord and believing the Lord. Naaman came and obeyed the prophet and dipped 7 times in the Jordan River, and God healed him of his leprosy. And so, yeah, we got lots of problems. Yes, we do. And God sometimes heals and sometimes doesn't for his own reasons, and sometimes we scratch our heads. But oh, he wants to encourage us toward faith, to really trust him with our lives, whether it be in the physical body or the provision, whatever it is. God wants us to look to him, and he is so happy to show up. And wonderful, our wonderful God for doing that. So a good lesson for us, and just so, I'm just so happy with that verse again. He establishes the border with all of this history we've just studied and so forth, the border, that place of dwelling for the widow. How mighty is our God, and how wonderful it is that he chooses to reach out to those that are in most need. And so as we find ourselves there from time to time, God would love to hear from us and just love us to put our trust in him. Amen? Okay, and so let's go back to Proverbs. There's a couple more thoughts here, about three more thoughts I want to give to you before our time is up. We'll go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, and we're going to read now verse 26 of 15. Proverbs 15, 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Now this verse is power-packed with the idea, and actually one translation really compares thoughts to thoughts instead of thoughts to words. But it is true that the mind is filled with something, and they're called thoughts. And in the Jewish thinking, mind and heart are the same. And Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so here we look at the wicked, and they have these wicked thoughts going on in their hearts and in their minds. And so what's going to come out their mouth are wicked things. You can almost tell where a person's at as soon as they start talking. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, and those words that come out of their mouths, coming out from their hearts, will be sounding real bad. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Why? Because their thinking is about the things of God. And their hearts are given over to the Lord. And when a heart is glowing for Jesus, the things that come out of the mouth are going to be wonderful, as called here, pleasant words. Now, in verse 27, it says this, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. But he that hates gifts, which is better translated, bribes, shall live. That's a person that's greedy for gain, that takes bribes or does evil things in order to get more moolah, more mammon, more money, by doing deceitful things and cheating people and cheating the government and cheating everybody to try to have that gain. It's a very greedy thing. And it will actually cause you to trouble your own house. And this is the sad part about it. Now, this idea of taking bribes was rampant among the Roman soldiers in the time of Jesus. When the folks began to come to John the Baptist confessing their sins, they would say, and there's several there in the section of Scripture in the Gospels that talks about this, come up to him and say, John, what must we do? And John would give them their sin, what they need to repent of. And when the Roman soldiers came to ask John the Baptist, what should we do? He said this, be satisfied with your wages. Be satisfied with your wages. Because they were taking these bribes. It was just something that really did you good in your own mind. If you did something wrong or caught for it and you're due up before the Roman judge, you just go find a Roman soldier, give him a bunch of money, and he'll come and testify you for you, and whatever you want him to say. You know, oh, he was with me right then, you know, when that happened. That kind of thing. And they were making some big-time money taking bribes. It was part of the society. So John the Baptist said, be satisfied with your soldier wages instead of having greedy gain and trying to get rich. doing these kinds of things. So this proverb makes total sense, and of course God knows the future. The proverbs were written way before Rome was even in power, but that was what was going on in the time of Jesus. Now, the greedy gain. We want to be so careful of that. Now, this is enlarged upon actually in really what this creates. It talks here about troubling your house. That means your children, your wife, those in your household can be really troubled if you are worshiping the almighty buck. You might think, gee, you know, if I make tons of money and I let the little woman, should I pull this up or down, or what should I do with it to make it better? What do you think? Yeah, is it a little better? Then it kind of echoes and woo. Anyway, if you're doing that, you're going to trouble your household. And you might be thinking in your mind, you know what? I don't need to be home with my kids. I'll just buy them a Lexus for graduation. And they'll love me forever. But you know, that just doesn't work. And they do movies about that, don't they? And the movies are right. And just say, this guy never took care of his kids, but he's always off doing the business, making the big dollar. And the kids are left alone, left to themselves, lonely, beat up spiritually. And the house has been troubled. Well, let's turn to 1 Timothy 6:9 on this. Just for an exhortation from the New Testament on the same idea. 1 Timothy 6:9. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 says this: they that will be rich. And that's your goal in life. You ask somebody, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be rich. I don't care what I do, I just want to be rich. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a trap. Have to be so careful. Do not fall into that trap. Into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition is hell. And so, oh man, real careful. Got to let God add to us what we have. We have to take the exhortation from John the Baptist to the Roman soldiers. Be satisfied with your wages. Don't go around looking for illegal things to do to get a little richer. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You get removed from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. People are sometimes shocked and surprised that there'll be some young man or some young woman from a rich neighborhood where the parents are really affluent, but this person has done horrible things, got in major trouble. They're good looking, they've got good athletic skills, they could have been great athletes and good additions to their high school, but they end up doing all the wrong stuff. What's wrong? Well, they're trying to fill that empty hole that only Jesus can fill with money. And so it all goes south. If you have greedy gain in your heart, you will trouble your own household. And so how important to keep it straight. Now, I'd like to talk about inheritances because this comes up a lot in the congregation through the years. There's these bitter inheritance struggles that go on. And you know, folks, as family members, can really have a troubled household because they get mad as wet hands at one another. You got grandma's Cadillac, and I get grandpa's Ford. What's that about? You know? And so these bitter things can spring up. But, oh, we want to be above that, don't we? Yeah, we don't want to have the greed again, because the greed again will grab your heart. And then you go after the Cadillac and you will just karate chop relatives and have races to get in there to get stuff you want, you know? Oh, it's not good, not good. Yeah, right on. So I want to tell you first what Jesus said about that, because somebody, thank God, somebody came and asked him the question and he gave us the answer. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Luke 12, 13. Luke chapter 12. Now, this guy, he knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows that Jesus, you know, is really capable of judging between people. Yeah, he's the chief judge on the throne of God, in the midst of the throne of God, as we see in Revelation 5. And when it comes to Revelation 20 and the great white throne judgment, who's sitting on the throne? Jesus Christ. And so this man comes up and he says to Jesus, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." You know, he's ticked. And so he's going to Jesus. He said, "Jesus, you take care of this for me. Point your finger in my brother's face and tell him, you divide the inheritance with your brother." And Jesus answers and says, "Man, who made me a judge or divider over you?" Well, and you think, here's the judge of the universe, and he's refusing to judge an inheritance question. Why? And the why is given in verse 15. And what he does is just kind of bring a reproof to this man. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." In other words, bro, you need to calm down. Don't allow hatred or bitterness to come into your heart over stupid money. It's not worth it. And there's many a people that have taken folks to court and paid $1 million a minute for lawyers, beating each other to death in the court, and at the end they're emotionally shot, have to go to bed, and the whole thing. And was it really worth it? I don't think so. Just let it go, move on, and do all that you can to keep unity in your family and love between brothers. Be an example as a Christian to what Jesus would say to you and how he would direct you. Be careful, he says. Oh, be careful. And Jesus isn't saying, be careful. He's saying, be careful. He wants us to be careful in him, to not do it the wrong way. Beware of covetousness, of just getting that greedy gain thing going. You know, I could be really rich right now. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. So there's Jesus's answer. I was so blessed with my boys in a situation like this, in more than one way, but I'd like to just share my heart about it, is that my dad died. And my stepmom took me out of the will and divided the money between her girlfriend and the four boys. And so when I first heard that, that was really hard on me. And I started praying, and God began to give me answers from the Bible. And of course, this is one of the answers, you know. Mark, you got to let that go. Just rejoice with your boys that they're going to get a bunch of money. And so I did. I did, praise God, and God helped me. It's God's grace, of course. And I just said, "Lord, I just ask forgiveness for judging the stepmom for doing this to me. And I just love my boys, and God bless them with that money." And so when my son John called about it, I explained that to him. I said, "John, it's just so neat, because Mom and I, you know, God has taken care of us. You know that through all these years, we've been just fine. And so you guys, you take that money and use it to begin your lives, you know, and all." Well, my son calls back. And this is what was really the blessing part of it to me. And he says, "Dad, I've never said no to you in my whole life." No, he really hadn't ever said no. He did things he shouldn't have, but he never said no. So he says, "But I'm going to say no to you in this, if you refuse to accept what I'm going to tell you." And he said, "The brothers and I have talked, and each one of us are going to send you a check for $9,000. And I thought, "Lord," and the real blessing of that, of course, is that those boys were putting their priorities with how do I bless somebody else? Instead of doing the greedy gain and thinking, you know, I could do a lot more with the $9,000 that I'm going to give dad and mom. Dad and mom will be dead soon. You know, I mean, that's how the world thinks, right? So what a blessing, you know? But if we do grab the greedy gain, we trouble our own household. And there's arguments and difficulties that should never, never exist. We need to let it go, give it to God, wait on the Lord. So I paid off my car, went, took Sherry to the Bahamas, and it was really fun, wasn't it? God bless those boys. Anyway, let's go on. Let's go back to Luke in chapter 15. Proverbs. This is the last service. I'm brain dead now. No, I still got a few thoughts. Okay, here we go. And I just got a couple minutes. So Proverbs 15. We want to talk about prayer really quick. It says here, the heart of the righteous studies to answer. You always want to sit on something before jumping to conclusions about something. I have a problem with that sometimes. I need to really pray about that. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. We should always think first and pray before we answer a situation. But you see, the mouth of the evils, they just start, I knew it. And you don't want to do that. Okay, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Now, this is a promise, and here it is in Proverbs. He will hear your prayer. Yes, he will. And how are you righteous? You're righteous through Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord? You love him, and you pray to God. He will hear you every single time. This is a promise. Now, you will hear, and maybe you've said, the Lord didn't answer my prayer. Well, he didn't hear my prayer. He didn't hear my prayer. And what you're really saying is, he didn't do what I wanted him to do when I wanted him to do it. But you see, God is a good dad. He's a good father. And of course, you know, I just think of the example, you know, we're sons and daughters of the living God, that he's going to do what's best for you. And if your prayer is like consuming it upon your own lust or something, he's going to say no to that, because he doesn't want you to get into greed again. So he will just defer on that. But he is also can say yes to your prayer, and he does so many times. He can also say no, and he can also say wait. And I think wait is the hardest one, because you just know in your heart, and you just know the Spirit's going to do it, but he's just taking his time. And so we get impatient, we get frustrated. But we just have to remember how we are as fathers. Or as how we are as mothers. If you take kids to SeaWorld, they will probably want ice cream first, because the ice cream guys are out there hanging out. So can I have some ice cream? And you have to think about it, right? Okay, you can have some ice cream. And then you come across the long skinny donuts with the powder on it. They're called Cheerios, I think. Can I have a Cheero? You just had some ice cream. That's okay. Cheerios look good. I'm still hungry. So what do you say? Well, you start, yeah, hey. Robert says, okay, let's do it. You want to get sick? Good, let's go ahead. Then we'll go on the sky ride. But there comes a point sometime that you're going to have to say no, right? I hope. I mean, you never say no. So after the Cheero, you know, you come to the cotton candy. And we have a picture at SeaWorld of little tiny grandkids years ago, and the cotton candy was like this. And now we have a new picture with the older girls, and the cotton candy is like this. Just go to SeaWorld and order the cotton candy and see what you know, you can dive in there. No, man. Just the thought of it gives me a buzz. But if the ice cream and the churro, and it comes to the cotton candy, at some point you're going to say, I love you. I don't want to take you home sick. Your parents will never let me take you out again. They come home with this big pink stain on their face, like this, you know. You're getting the point, okay? So God will hear your prayer, everyone. But he's going to answer your prayer according to his own will, because his will is our will for the best in our lives. It's as simple as that. And so he hears the prayers. Never think that God didn't hear you or isn't listening. He's going to do the very best for you. Now, verse 30 says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. NIV's much better translation on that. A cheerful look brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Man, if you got some good news to share with somebody, it really makes their day. And of course, the best good news is the gospel, which means good news. And you can bring good news and health to the bones of the people around you. Now, the rest of the chapter, verses 31 through 33, has to do with just being careful to listen to instruction. This is so important. I love you guys so much. One of the reasons is, you know, when I'm preaching, I look out in the congregation and I see eyeballs looking back at me. And I see folks receiving God's word. It's precious. And it's beautiful. A poor dear sister came up after last service and said, do you notice when I'm sleeping? She said, you know, I'm not really sleeping. I watch TV that way a lot. I close my eyes. And I was trying to figure that out, but the thing is that some folks just relax their eyes and receive. And let me tell you, I never judge people for sleeping. Maybe I shouldn't say that, because you really shouldn't sleep in church. You got to be alert to receive the word, right? That's good. I don't have time to share with you, but I'll just share with you real quick. The Sergeant of Arms, they used to have two-hour sermons. I only do about 45 minutes or a little more. But in the old days, during the time of Whitfield and those guys and Jonathan Edwards and famous preachers, they had a Sergeant of Arms in the church. And the sermons were 2 hours then, two hours. And it was a long pole. And on one end was a feather, and the other end a brass knob. And if you were a man and you went to sleep in church, the Sergeant of Arms comes from the back row with this long pole. And he'll reach over and bop you with the brass knob, wake you up. And if it was a woman, they'd tickle you with the feather on the other end. So, you know, I mean, take care of the women, right? It's good. Okay, so let me just read these scriptures. The ear that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. So we're wise if we're listening. And I see you out there. God bless you. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul. Whoa, that's heavy. He just refused to be instructed. Just, is this guy done yet? Refuse the instruction. But he that hears reproof gets understanding. You just understand life a little better as you receive the word of God in your own devotions, from the radio, here at church, counseling with brothers and sisters. The fear of the Lord is instruction. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor comes humility. It is a humble thing to receive. It's a humble thing to listen to preaching. It's a humble thing to be open to instruction, be teachable. But as you do that and not grow out of it, keep it up through the years. Whenever the word of God is preached to you, you listen, you take something from it. Eat the chicken, throw away the bones. There's going to be some bones, but you eat the chicken. And you take it in. That's going to bring honor from the Lord. I will honor those who honor me, says the Lord. Well, let's pray, and then we'll sing. Let's pray. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for this exhortation to receive instruction. And, Lord, thank you for these verses that we've read today. Lord, we're so thankful that your heart is toward those in need. And, Father, for us to be about what you're about, Lord, we know that that's where our hearts will be found. And Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to trust in money, because riches do make themselves wings and fly away. But in you, I want to stay with you, Lord. Keep looking at you, Lord. And Father, that you would bless our households and do great and mighty things. And so we thank you, Father, and Lord, we pray that you would help us each day to walk in your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.